Home is where the heart is. And our heart's with you. And wherever we travel and wherever we go and wherever we're worshiping or ministering, this is home. And it always feels good. We're looking for a miracle in our ministry as you're looking for miracles in your life. Many years ago, we had prophecy about going to Haiti and to having our own mission. Well, that doesn't happen overnight, and by a series of circumstances, I ended up going with this group called Team Haiti for Jesus, and it was really a preparation. This last year, both in November and in the summer when I went to Haiti, it was a difficult time. At 65, Diane's a young woman. In fact, I'm probably the oldest one in this building. Well, with the exception of my grandfather, Charlie Russell. Happy birthday, Charlie. My request is this, is that as you pray for a miracle for you and for this church, I believe that we need one miracle to turn the hearts of people. I just need one leg to grow out. I just need one hand to be restored. I just need one mouth to grow normal. I just need one person in Haiti, in the place where we're ministering, one miracle, and the island will be God's. I've had that promise. And each year when I go, I expect that miracle to happen. And when I come back, as it hasn't happened yet, I also was told at that time that I would speak and understand Creole fluently. I expected a miracle that suddenly Shirley would speak to me in Creole and I would understand that. But that hasn't happened. What has happened is my appreciation and my knowledge of the language has grown. And I can now preach 30 minutes in Creole, which is astounding. We have an interpreter, and sometimes he will put his hand on my arm, and he will begin to interpret. And when he finishes, he said, I needed to expand that so that they could understand in their culture, because that's not a concept that you have here. And sometimes I get the wrong word, and he graciously said, no, that's not it. I have a request other than that. We have a friend named Ed, and Ed and his wife have a ministry in Afghanistan. And Ed has been in contact with us, and he said, they desperately need clothes. They need men's small to large. They need women's clothes up to 16, size 16. Children of any age, any kind of clothes, and shoes. Now, they're looking for good clothes, not something that they won't take at Goodwill, but good clothes. If you could bring those in during the week, I will come down here on Tuesday and pick up everything that, not this Tuesday, next Tuesday, everything that you have. I'm leaving on the 20th of this month to go back to Haiti, and guess what? I'm going to spend some time with Shirley's sister, Barbara, who lives very near the airport down there. Shirley has been a real joy in our life. The last time I was here, and I was talking, Gail Cornell said, I work with a Haitian woman. And I said, here, give her this card and my phone number and have her call me. And Shirley called me. And we went down and visited with her, and we spent some time. And we've been frequent visitors down to her house. And we've bought Haitian cornbread and coffee. And she's fixed Haitian food for us. And she's actually part of our family now. We love them dearly. But that's the way it is with our Haitian friends. They're giving people. They want to be educated. They want to work. In fact, they do most of the work in Dominican Republic because Dominicans don't like to work. They don't like to clean the room. They don't like to take care of the hotel. They don't like to harvest the sugar cane. But the Haitians go over there and they do the work. Wherever they go, they want to work. My scripture for reading for today is 1 John 4:18. And what it says is, perfect love casts out all fear. And last week, I had the opportunity to speak at our church, and I talked about fear and how fear has no place in our life. All throughout the Old Testament, the angels came and they said, fear not, don't worry. And they gave good news. I always start by saying, God loves you more than you will ever know while you're here on this earth. And because God loves you so much, He has a plan for your life. He doesn't want you just stumbling through from day to day and not knowing where you're going, not having goals, not having plans for your life. We make our plans, and then God tweaks them. He makes it what it should be. And because He loves us, because He has a plan for us, He wants us to get started on that as soon as possible. If you haven't done that, do that today. He has a plan for your life. Now, Pastor Wayne said, some people are sent. And he knows that because he sent me. I'll hold him responsible. He gets both the blame and he gets the blessing. God. He was the one that pointed out that I had my hand up when it was only that high. Good eyes. See, sometimes you need to be called out of your circumstances. You know God has more for you than what you're doing, but somebody's got to call that from you. Wayne said, you need to draw on me. And when you draw on me, you do by shaking your head, saying, amen. I spoke with a group, and one time the pastor said, how were they? And I said, they were receptive, but not very responsive. They were like sponges. Everything I said, it soaked right in. Nothing, no feedback. And after a while, if you don't get feedback, you just put the microphone down and go away. Now, I know the people love to see me. Some when I come, some when I go. So. If we were in Haiti today, if I were preaching at the church in Obos, no walls, just concrete blocks about that high all around the church. And as I stand there preaching, I look out, and where the parking lot is out there, it's ocean. And the waves just come in. Sometimes I have to remind myself that I'm preaching and to get back and get back to the message. It's just so peaceful. But behind me, there's a lot of lava rock in Haiti. And when the water comes in and it's high, goes behind the church, and there are big pockets back there that collect that water and collect mosquitoes. So the mosquitoes are behind us. We've got a tarp over the tent and or over the building. If it rains, you got to take that pole and push up the, where the rain is so that it runs back, doesn't run. I've learned a lot of things about preaching in Haiti. One, I used to go to a church I called L'Église en bas Pied-Bois, the church under the tree. And that's all it was. It was a tree, and they hung a light over that tree, single light, and that's where I preached. I learned very quickly. I'm a quick learner. I learned very quickly you don't stand under the light because the bugs hit it and drop down your neck. You always hold your book out here under the light so you can see it, and then you can go like this when the bugs fall. But there are some issues in preaching in Haiti that Pastor Wayne doesn't have to put up with. Now, in this church, there's a cement blocks, and on that cement blocks, maybe 2x6, and that runs around the entire church. So there's usually about 45, maybe 50 people there. And I checked this morning, and it was 73 degrees when I got up at 6 o'clock. It'll be 91 by now, and it'll be that all day long. And sometimes it's very, very oppressive. You have a lot of humidity there. I walk probably maybe a quarter of a mile from where I am up to the church building. And by the time I get there, the sweat's running down my back and down my sides. And when you're in Haiti, you carry a washcloth in your back pocket. You pull out that washcloth and put it back in. Well, at first when I got there, I didn't have a washcloth, but I had a credit card. What can I say? We've made a change this year. Both Don and I felt that the trip all the way out to where we go, I think I've mentioned to you before, we've got a three-hour plane ride there. No. 3 hours to Atlanta, 3 hour wait, 3 hours over to Haiti, that's 6 hours of sitting. And then a couple days after we get there, we take a van, a 4 hour van ride. The first hour and a half is usually at about 85 miles an hour. See, they have the horn and the gas pedal connected. And I never quite figured out if you put the gas down, does the horn go? Or if you push the horn, the gas goes. Somehow, but the horn's blaring and we're going 85 miles an hour. And then we stop at a store and we get to go in and go potty. That's an improvement because we used to have a stop and the ladies went to the left and the men went to the right. And then you got back on and away you went. I'm not lying, right? No, okay. All right. So then after that hour and a half, we turned on this road that went down along the ocean. It is nothing but potholes, and it had been paved at one time, and it is excruciating for 2 hours to ride over that bumpy road. And then we have time we spend in the village, and then we have to come back and then we take the boat. It's an hour and a half, 2 hour boat ride on an 18-foot boat on the ocean. And sometimes the ocean is like this, and sometimes it's like this. Well, it doesn't care whether we're coming or going. I've made that trip with 5-foot waves all the way through. They tell you to not get seasick, pick something over there in the horizon and watch it. Well, when the boat goes down below the water, there's nothing to look at but water. So that doesn't work. Doesn't work at all. Oh my. Blessed are the peacemakers. Matthew 5:9. For they shall become the sons of God. I think it was Pastor Wayne told me, I don't want to go back how many years it was, but said, seek peace. If you have a decision to make, seek peace. When you say, well, I'll go this way, and you have peace, that's the way to go. If you're seeking something and there's conflict there, you don't feel comfortable with it, don't go that way. Because that's not the way God's taking you. We need to seek peace. Now, in order to seek peace, we've got to make some changes in ourselves. And the change that we have to make is that we have to give up our rights. Now, nowadays, everybody has rights and super rights and other. It's just amazing. And everybody wants their rights. Well, sometimes if I'm right, that person's not. Sometimes if they're right, I'm not. But I have to be willing to give up my rights to demand my way be done. Because it's God's way. It's God's way that we want in our life. And so we need to have that love of Christ in our heart. And we do. We do have God's love there. But you see, we also have a mind, and the mind is at war with the body constantly, or with the soul and the spirit. And so we're in conflict within us, and we need to seek the peace of God. Our purpose in life is to bring everything under the Spirit. Yeah, our spirit was renewed when we were born again. And we also get an infilling when we're filled with the Holy Spirit. But our body and our mind are not regenerated at that point. And we need to bring that mind under the control of the Spirit. The Spirit needs to direct everything. Now, I've given my little theory here before, I think. I believe that we existed as a spirit before the creation of the world. Said, God knew us before the creation of the world. I believe we were a spirit back then. And I believe that we're born, we're sent. I believe that at times, God says, I need a spirit to... And me, send me. I want to go. But you know, there's a time for each of us to be sent. And this is your time. You've been sent. And you came down here, and you grew up as a child, and you were covered until you get to that age of accountability when you know, and then you have a decision to make. Am I going to continue to live under the Spirit, or am I going to be a rebel and do my own thing? I chose to be a rebel. I did. I remember I worked at a psychiatric center out in Kansas, and I didn't let any slight go by. We had a social worker that drove me up the wall, and I, bam, bam, no, we're not going to do that. I was a psychologist, and I was a rebel. I just flat rebelled. I didn't go with the program. Well, you know, to get from there to a point where the Spirit's in control, and you have to say, okay, whatever you want, Holy Spirit, that's a long road. Now, some children grow up, and they move from 10, 11, 12, whenever, right into the programs in the church. Oh, I attended the church, and I was president of the youth group, and I did all those things, but I had a rebellious heart. I know none of you can relate to that, because you probably never were there. Oh. Jesus was the ultimate peacemaker. The cost of our peace came at his life. Isaiah 53:5 says, New King James Version, he was wounded for our transgressions, and he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we were healed. Our peace comes through Christ. You know, we have no covenant with God. We don't have a covenant with God. We have a covenant. We're in Jesus. Jesus has a covenant so that the covenant is never broken. If it was left up, we'd break it. We'd be peace breakers, not peacemakers. We need to give up our rights in order to promote the pathway to peace. This applies to families, husbands, wives, parent, child, siblings, and our relationship. Do you know what God wants from us, really? What is it, Donna? A relationship. God wants a relationship with us. And out of that relationship flows everything in our life. If we give him 5 minutes a day, we have a five-minute walk. If we just say, this is your day, Lord, what do you want me to do? Show me the way to go. We walk with him all day long. And it's, I know Diane said she was 65. I'm going to turn 84 in June. And it's, I know that I'm older than you. 2 days. Charlie and I have had this relationship for a long time. So. But it has taken me until the last several years of my life to work this out to where I say, whatever it is you want. I told him way back after Pastor Wayne sent me to Haiti, I said, God, I'll go wherever you want me to go. I'll do whatever you want me to do. I'll say whatever you want me to say. If you make the provision. And that's the way it's worked out. Whenever it's time to go, the provision is there. When it's not time to go, the provision is not there. I've had to make the decision right after the earthquake in Haiti. I wanted so desperately to go to Haiti, and God said, it's not your time. And I ranted and raved and stomped my feet, and God said, it's not your time. Sit down. And I did. And about a year later, I said, I think it's time to go. God said, yeah, you're right. It's time to go. So it's a struggle to, the things that are in us, to give those up to. Told me when I got married, you just had to learn two words. Yes, dear. But you see, what is that? That's giving up my priorities. For my wife, it's, what do you want to do? Where do you want to go? No, we're not eating there today. We have to have peace in our workplaces. Oh, that's a tough one. That's a tough one. I sit down in the morning and I usually say, good morning, Holy Spirit. I thank you for my healing, and I thank you for my rest, and I thank you for the peace that you've brought to my life. What would you say to me today? And today, he said, after helping me prepare this whole thing, he said, peace is yours. Okay? Now, this is for you, too. Walk in it. Seek it. Promote it, and look for it in every single situation. Follow peace. Be at peace with all who seek it, and have patience in your heart with all who do not seek it. We know we see people every day who don't want to be at peace. They want to be at enmity with others. And so we just have to accept that in our heart that, okay, I gave you the olive branch and you just slapped it out of my hand, so I'm just going to have to step back and say, okay, that's the way it'll be until the next time I come. It says, an effort has to be made because it does not always come of its own accord. Peace does not come of its own accord. Someone, you, it's actually said to me, must bring it about by your attitude and your willingness to yield your rights, and you do well to seek peace. For through it, many are brought to the Lord. They have peace with God, they have peace with their family and friends and the people they work with, and they have a tool to use in witnessing. And the rest is personal. That's a brand new book. Started at April 2nd. Oh, found a dime. I had one that I've just finished probably a year and a half. I don't always get to it, but mostly first thing I do in the morning, sometimes it's the second. Sometimes I start the coffee before I go in. But I sit down every morning and say, what would you tell me today, Holy Spirit? And I always get a word. And he often says, you're blessed. You're deeply loved. I mean, God is an encourager. He's always looking for the best for you. And if you're getting negative words, it's not from God. It's from the other guy who came to kill, steal, and destroy. And what does he kill? He kills your spirit. He kills your joy. He takes your peace. He takes your love. He takes your children. He takes your money. He come. He said, but I have come that they may have life, and that more abundantly. Okay? You're the abundant life people. Okay? And confess that. You are abundant life people. Although there's a church up there in Saratoga that calls themselves Abundant Life. I don't know. No, I know them. They're good people. We can be God's vessel of peace because we already have his love in our heart. So evidently, peace starts with love. God's love through Jesus to us in our heart, that love poured out to others. I don't know how many times during a month I'm writing and he says, be a blessing to someone today. Sometimes you got to look out for opportunities to bless people. But they're there. They're there. I used to use a watch when I was preaching, but now I just use a calendar. So. Romans 5:5 says, now hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. I was once preaching and scripture for faith is the substance of things hoped for, evidence. I said, what's the key word in that? Because everybody goes to faith. No, it's hope. If you don't have hope, we don't have anything to build it on. And I have seen people eye to eye in Haiti who have no hope. I've seen people in many countries who have no hope. People who go to the garbage dump every day to pick and hope to find something that they can sell so they can buy food for their family. And their hope is that their son or their daughter won't have to do that, but the chances of that happening are slim unless somebody can come to them and to help them. Romans 12, 17 and 18 says, "Now, hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us." Sometimes I'm preparing for a message and I look and I think, that doesn't seem like enough to get through. I'm only on the first page of four, but you're not going to hear the other three, so. Gentleness and self-control, Galatians 5:23. Against such there is no law. See, we have the ability to be peacemakers when we surrender our will to the leading of the Holy Spirit in obedience to God's word. And when we choose to act out the character of God. You have a choice every day. Who are you going to be? Who are you going to be today? You know that. Every day you wake up, you have a choice of who you're going to be. And if you choose to be the character of God and you walk that way, then people are going to rejoice and be happy to see you when you come. And they won't want to see you go. Our prayer should be, God, fill my heart with your love, your compassion, your mercy, and your peace, that I may be a maker and not a breaker of peace in your kingdom. And the good news is, he has provided for everything. The provision is there. A friend once said, your provision is before you as you walk. I said to him after a couple of days, I walked into so many walls here looking for my provision. He said, no, you're supposed to look up, not out ahead. God has provided everything that you have need of. He's provided your needs, and he's also provided many of your wants. But he only had to provide your needs. That was a quick page. Hebrews says, called to listen to God, said, pursue peace with all people and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. Look carefully lest anyone fall short of the grace of God. Is that my phone? Yes, it is. Lest any root of bitterness springing up cause trouble. We got to make sure some of the things in our life are buried. And the best way to do is bring them to Jesus. And he buries them in the sea of forgetfulness and puts up a sign that says, no fishing allowed. No fishing. No fishing allowed. James 3, 13 to 18. Again, we can see the character and temperament of God that others should see in us. We don't need others to judge or condemn us, as we so often used to make ourselves feel better by judging other people. Well, at least I'm not like that. But you know, you can always find someone to look up and say, but I'm not like that either. So don't judge yourself. There are too many people out there willing to stand in line to do that. In Genesis, Abraham says to Lot, let there be no strife between us. If you want to go left, I'll go right. You want to go right, I'll go left. It's a matter of making a decision that I'm not going to insist on my way. I'm going to give it away. I'm not telling you to let people walk all over you. I mean, there's time when you have to say, stop. No. There's a time to walk away. You don't need to be in conflict. You need to be absent from conflict. And some of that times that just means walking away from a situation. You do what you can do, and you can't do any more, and so you move on. And it's really God that's going to do it. In Samuel, the story about David, where he came and he wanted some food, and Nabal, who was an evil man, said, no, get out of here. And his wife came, and she came to David and said, it's not his fault, it's mine. She was willing to take on the blame to bring peace. And she prophesied to David, and she said, do not take action on your own, for God will take care of it. Wow. Okay? So that if I don't take action, then nothing comes on me. But God knows, and God will deal with it. Now, sometimes we can't see vengeance come as quick as we want it. But that's not our responsibility. Vengeance is God. Vengeance is God. Romans 5:10, if anyone wants to be a true peacemaker, he or she must first have peace with God. John 14:27, only Jesus can bring a peace that lasts. So we must have that peace before we minister it. Boy, that's good. I feel good about that. If I'm ministering peace to you today, I must have some of it. I must have peace in my life. Isaiah 26:3, it tells us that he will keep us in perfect peace whose mind is set on him. Where's your mind? The greatest war man ever faced is that which is between God and man and founded on the sinfulness of our disobedience. Only when we become one in that peace treaty, signed, sealed, and delivered by Christ to the Heavenly Father, will we have peace with God. And the peace of God will bring into the conditions of our lives and this world. Here's the beauty of what takes place. When we know peace with God, we experience the peace of God, and as we tell others about him, this is the way we should live. Peace all around, but it comes first from the Father, through Christ to us. And as we are in Christ, we receive that. Don and I are willing to pray with any of you who want to have prayer. We're currently preparing some handouts to take to Haiti. It's three different stories, and it's in English and in Creole. What we'll be doing when we're done, well, Don's not going with me this time. She's going to be a prayer warrior. When we get down there, we have a service on Wednesday night. We'll have two services on Thursday, two on Friday, two on Saturday, and then one on Sunday. We have decided to not meet at any church, because people from that church wouldn't want to come over to this church. So we're going to have a building, and that's where we're going to have our what do they call that? What are we going down for? Wednesday? Yeah. Anyway, that's where we're going to have our meetings. But during the day, we will walk through the village in the morning, because it's hot in the afternoon. So we walk through the village in the morning. In the afternoon, we have to knock on doors for people to come out. And we'll give them the good word. And we'll tell them about Christ. And we'll invite them to the meetings. And we'll do that every day that we're there. And during the morning session, we're going to be teaching on who is Jesus. And in the evening, we're going to be teaching from the Gospel of Peace, which some of you have read. I'm going to be turning over the reins to a friend of mine, Phil Mullen, is going to be coming with us. He and I ministered last July together. And he's going to be taking over as head of evangelism for the team. I'll be going down only in April when we have the evangelism convention going on. We're going to limit our trips to once a year going there, but we've already made plans to go to another place in Haiti, which is much closer to Port-au-Prince. It's only about an hour away, and we don't have that transportation issue back and forth. So we have a busy schedule. We have people who've heard the gospel, but people who aren't anywhere near this point. They may be born again, but they wouldn't go over to that church, and they wouldn't go to the other church, and they're certainly not going to the Catholic Church. And so you've got groups of people who are looking to receive from the missionary, but what they want from the missionary is money. This convention, the missionaries used to pay for, and everybody would come and eat for 3 or 4 days and go. And now it's, if you want to have dinner here, bring something to put in the pot. And people are saying, no, we're not going to do that. Last year when we went down at this time, my morning sessions, I had 10 people. The afternoon or the evening, probably around 40 or 50 people, but only about 20 of those came out of the mountains. Usually people walk down 3 to 5 hours down the mountains to come down to worship. And we're looking to rebuild this. And I believe it, they used to say, fastest ways of communication, telephone, telegraph, tell a woman. Actually, all you have to do is say something, and the word spreads throughout the village. Whether it's a rumor or a lie or anything, within hours, everybody within that area knows what happened. All we have to have is one miracle. One miracle. And that's going to change. Because if we have one, we can have two, and we can have three, and whatever. God has a people. He's always had a people. And he uses that people. And you are that people that God wants to use. And I just ask you today, be ready. Be available. That's all it takes, is to be available. And God will use you. And he will take you from where you begin to where he wants you to be. I came here, I was a greeter. That's where I started. Then I worked with Bill up in the audiovisual. And then, God just said, go to Haiti. I went to Haiti and they said, well, you can teach. I guess it could. Love it. I love it. A month before I go to Haiti, I wake up. You know that time in the morning, you're not asleep, but you're not awake. And I come awake and I'm preaching in Creole. And I've got my message and I'm struggling for a word or something, but I'm preaching. And I know It's the Holy Spirit getting me ready to go to preach, and I get excited. I'm having some tingling in my body, but that's not from that. God loves you more than you will ever know. If you don't believe me, go home today, get in a quiet place, and say, God, how do you feel about me? And be prepared to hear how much he loves you. Fear not. He's not out to get you. If he was, he would have gotten you by now. Believe that. Father God, I thank you for this congregation. I thank you for these people that you have called. I thank you for the gifts you have placed in this church. I thank you for the vision that you've set before them. I thank you that you're manifesting your love and your presence and your finances and your provision right here in this group. Thank you for your love for them, and thank you for your demonstration of that fact. We pray you go with them today, strengthen them, and use them for your purposes. We ask this in the name of Jesus. If any of you want to come up for prayer, when we finish, Donna and I'll be here to pray with you. God bless you.